Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 11th, 2014. Folks, today is really now called Patriot Day, not to be confused with Patriots with an S on it day, but Patriot Day. It is officially today that we recognize those who died in the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, and I'm sure that we should also recognize what happened in Benghazi. Speaking of which, we're going to be talking to Josh Klein, I think, next week about he did the research for his brother's book about Benghazi, the real story, I think it is. And anyway, we'll be talking with them about that next week. So I do today pray for all the families that were affected by 9/11. I'm not going to get into any of the controversy over it because that's not what our program's about today. We have other problems today. They're really, really deadly serious. I'm just thankful that so far today, I'm in 5 o'clock, a little after 5 Central Time, and so far today there has not been any new attacks today, which I really expected, especially with the border and the condition that it is. So first, a couple of things, and then we'll bring on our guest tonight, who is a real American patriot. Okay. If you need anything after this program, call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And remember, I get a lot of calls or something, so if I don't get back with you, you can call me on my cell phone number in an emergency, and that is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. A lot of people just simply send me an email, which you can find at our website, prophecyhour.com. And at prophecyhour.com, it's like a hub for everything. But they call me at 316-619-4886, or they get my email address over there. And anyway, you can find all our updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Also, I'd like to mention tonight that our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.com, podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app on Google Play. So you can download it to your smartphones, but both of those sites, prophecyhour.com and the podomatic.com site, those are both very friendly to smartphones. And what I hear now, that about 50% of the people that listen to radio nowadays listen on their smartphones. Well, I've known that for years. I've been asking them for years, well, how do you listen to our program? And I said, you listen to it live? And some of them say, yeah, we listen to it live on satellite, or we listen to it live on the net. So many others say, well, Pastor Dan, I downloaded it to my cell phone and listened to it at work. Really? Listen to it at work? Now we know what happened to the productivity in America. Anyway, let's say a prayer and let's get on tonight's guest, because we got some really interesting topics. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will, and not really my guest will, but your will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is Jim Gilhurst, who founded the Multi-Ethnic Minuteman Project on October 1st, 2004, after years of frustrating efforts trying to get a neglectful U.S. government to simply enforce existing immigration laws. That would cure everything if they would just enforce the law. Jim holds a B.A. in newspaper journalism, a B.S. in business administration, and an MBA in taxation. He's a former newspaper reporter and a retired California CPA, that's a certified public accountant. Jim is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps and a recipient of a Purple Heart Award for wounds while serving with an infantry unit in Vietnam, 1968-69. Well, Jim, you were there during a tough time. Mr. Gilhurst is a passionate defender of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and an avid supporter of law enforcement organizations. He's appeared on over 4,000 radio, TV, and print media interviews, and he believes he's only one of millions of the 24 21st century Minutemen, women, and children who want the U.S. to remain governed by the rule of law, who want proactive enforcement of our national security protections and our immigration code. Today, we'll speak to him about border issues and what's going on with him, about his organization, and about something I read at his website called Operation Normandy. Welcome, Jim. Are you there with me?
Dan, I am here. Thank you for that very eloquent, detailed introduction, and thank you for your prayer
program. I'm more than happy to get it to you, and I'm honored, sir, to have you on here tonight because of the work that you're doing. And I really think that a few years ago, I either had you on or somebody in your organization talking about the original Minuteman Project.
I can't remember your show being on over 4,000 shows in the last 6 years. I can't.
That's fine. I thought I would befuddle you. You got to watch me. I tend to do things like that to people just to, you know, Jim, with this program is like a lot of programs, and that's why I get so many people that want to come back. I try to have a relaxed, fun conversation about the seriousness of things going on. So while I gave you a good introduction and that pretty much told us all about you, what about now the Minuteman Project? What was that in the original for people that don't know anything about it? The one you started.
I conceived the original Minuteman Project, which is the current-day Minuteman Project as well, back in 2004, to invite as many Americans as possible to join me 6 months later, for the whole month of April 2005, in a 23-mile stretch of Arizona-Mexico border that was notorious for being an avenue for illegal entry to both the illegal alien slave trading cartels and the narco traffickers and operating out of Mexico. I succeeded in getting 1,250 volunteers to join me for 30 days along that border. We were manned 36 makeshift outposts. Slept in tents, sleeping bags on the ground, slept in a dilapidated former Bible college facility that had been abandoned, and we housed ourselves there. We spent 30 days, and within 10 days, we shut down the entire valley in southeast Arizona, that 23-mile-wide valley, all illegal activity without firing a shot, without raising a weapon to anybody. About half of us were armed because it's legal to carry weapons down there in that territory. Fortunately, it's one of the areas where your Second Amendment rights have not been stripped of you. I could quit at any time. My goal was to bring national attention to the issue. It went beyond that. It grew legs of its own, and not only do we have every politician speaking about illegal immigration now when we had absolutely none speaking about it 10 years ago, but we've also got the attention of France, England, Australia, Asia, Russia, Japan, so on and so forth. And I'm still getting interview requests. I just got another interview request today from a Danish journalist who wants to cover immigration issues in the United States and how they are applicable to what's happening in Denmark. So it's a global epidemic, not just the United States epidemic.
Right, amen. And I think the epidemic is brought on by more leftist-type people being in control, wanting open borders. In fact, I don't know exactly what the initiative is, but there's some kind of open border initiative out there put forth, I think, by a Soros, George Soros work group or something like that, isn't it?
Yes. And this is primarily a politically inspired ploy by the Democratic Party, more so than the Republican Party. You certainly have enablers on the Republican Party, but about half the Republicans want this nation brought back under the rule of law, and they want our immigration policy respected and the accompanying immigration laws enforced, seriously enforced. We have not had a president or a Congress take our immigration policy and its law enforcement seriously since Dwight Eisenhower, 1952 to 1960, and his accompanying Congresses, they were all for the repatriation of all the illegal aliens. About 2.5 million, almost 2 million people were repatriated back to South America, Mexico, wherever they came from. And it was very effective, and he got the support of Congress. In 1960, something happened with John Kennedy, and it started with his personal beef with Fidel Castro, and he said, well, I'm just going to let every Cuban who can get here come here. And that started a chain reaction, which eventually led to his brother, Ted Kennedy, and President Johnson dismantling our immigration quota. Back in 1965, instead of having 280,000 legal immigrants come in every year that we could easily vet and process and easily assimilate into our society, they quintupled it through the stroke of a pen. In my opinion, they conned Congress into going along with it. Now it's 1.25 million, but they did not quintuple the resources and manpower and staff members that we needed to seamlessly and easily bring 1.25 million people in year after year after year and assimilate them. Meanwhile, the enforcement side broke down, and we are essentially a lawless nation insofar as our immigration laws. So that's a serious indictment against the country. I have no qualms about making that indictment. I've seen it firsthand. Everybody who's been either a victim one way or another, either financially or by losing a loved one, being murdered by an illegal alien, being killed by a drunken driving illegal alien, whatever, or who is paying taxes to support the illegal alien population in the United States, we've all been victimized. And that's the consequence of not enforcing your laws. Most people are not against immigration.
I'm not against immigration.
Right. Legal immigrants.
I got a small comment. You know, I interview different people, you know, and about a lot of different things. And the immigration has been coming up predominantly since the children, and I'll ask you a question about that in a bit, but about immigration, and they keep talking about immigrants, and I can't get it through my head. I say, well, wait a minute, they're not immigrants. How are they immigrants when they're here illegally? You know, they're not. An immigrant is somebody that went through the system, isn't it? Or do I need to change my dictionary?
Well, it's playing on words. The left will prohibit you from using the phrase, the actual legal phrase from the U.S. Code, illegal alien, unlawful alien. They want you to say undocumented immigrant. And keep it at that. I refuse to comply with that. I say, look, you want me to listen to your lingo, you're going to listen to my lingo, which is more valid, has more validity than your phraseology. And it's fine. You don't want me to say illegal alien? All right. Unlawful alien. And I get kind of, sometimes I have to get very firm and almost to a point where I fear to be nasty. And combative and feisty, but you have to. I've had my freedom of speech stripped from me by universities, by Columbia University, which three times now has prevented me from speaking there. First time was charging the stage and driving me and Dr. Corsi off the stage so that we could not speak. Harvard, at my third appearance at Harvard, one law student decided to create such a uproar that they pulled my venue because everything that I've told you right now, they consider hate speech. I consider it earnest debate, intelligent argument, bringing my grievance forward under the First Amendment. But our Ivy League schools, unfortunately, and most state-run schools as well, do not believe in free speech. They believe that free speech is reserved to the meanest thug wielding the biggest club. And that's another problem we're going to have going into the future.
Right, absolutely. I totally agree. They mask it. They mask their propaganda under being politically correct. And, you know, politically correct is just untruth. Truth is the truth, and that's what I believe in. And you know, I'm a pastor. I believe in truth from the Bible. But you even get people that, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but even religious people, so to speak, that are doing the same thing because it's politically correct. And they don't realize that they're basically just telling a lie.
They're driving their parishioners away. I'm a baptized Catholic, and I'm extremely offended by my own Catholic Church being one of the primary religious orders that has encouraged and enabled this outright invasion of the country. I'm not averse to saving souls,
right?
But I am averse to luring the world's impoverished into the United States to save their souls, when my church and your church and all the other churches and religious orders can go to those foreign countries on missions and save those souls. And it's common sense. And I don't want to come across as somebody who doesn't care about souls. I do. I mean, I'm not a Christian. Want to talk a little bit about the children?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the children. And then we'll get into a lot of things. We got about 4 minutes before break. What about the children?
Okay.
My question I have written here for you about the children says, I keep hearing about all these children. Are all of them there by themselves, or some percentage of these accompanied by adults?
Some are accompanied by adults. The Department of Homeland Security has gone dark and quiet on the information. No one knows where these children are being distributed to. How many are going into certain areas? Usually they find out afterwards, several weeks or even several months after the children have been placed in certain areas around the country. Every state, I'm sure they're sending some to Alaska and Hawaii, as well as all the other 48 continental United States. It's very difficult to get information. There's little transparency, and that is a crime. Actually, it's not unethical. I think it's criminal. Eric Holder should be spending his time seeing to it that the American public has the transparency it deserves. The children are being brought here from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. They are being used as human shields. They are not refugees. There is less than 10% of the territories of those three countries are engaged in intramural warfare. The other 90% of those territories have very peaceful areas, no different than the United States. Those children can easily be relocated into the peaceful provinces or states or territories in those countries and avoid that terrorism. But the criminal cartels and the enablers on this side of the border in the United States are allowing this to happen, claiming that, these children are refugees. The criminal cartels are making $5,000 to $25,000 per head. That's what they're paid to get each individual in. Because they are from other than Canada and other than Mexico, some bizarre strange law that was passed back in 2008 and supported by Obama allows anybody who is not from Canada or not from Mexico, all the other worlds, to have their day in court, meaning we've got several million people here from those countries other than Mexico and other than Canada who are allowed to have their day in court, but you've only got 59 immigration court judges to hear the cases of several million people. They will never, ever have those hearings. They will just stay here. They should be repatriated back to their homelands. And this is a consequence of not enforcing our laws. I accept no excuse for this from either party, the Republicans or the Democrats or the religious orders. I believe if you're going to be a religious order or a politician or a public representative of character, you have to obey
the law
and follow the rule of law, because a nation without rule of law is no longer a civilized nation. It becomes a nation of Islam.
Really, a nation without borders is not a nation. is not a nation,
yes,
let alone
a nation of,
we have a leader that is lawless, and what kind of example does that set for us? And, sir, I heard that recently they was talking about these children going in front of a judge and giving court hearings that were like 4 years away, you know?
Yes, I believe that one was New York. Right, that's correct. They will blend back into their communities, will not show up for their hearing. 90% will not show up for the hearing, and nothing is done about it. The other 10% that do show up, because they're naive and gullible, when they are given deportation orders, if they are, and there's only a slight chance of that, they do not respect the deportation order. They go back into the community in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Kansas City, wherever they're at, Boston. Essentially, what this has done is added about 31 to 33 million illegal aliens to the population of the United States. These are people who have not fought wars for this country, have not lost their next of kin or their children fighting wars for this country, or in law enforcement defending this country's honor and domestically. These are people who never will defend this country.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to break in here because we've got to go to a station break. What is your website, sir?
MinutemanProject.com. That's MinutemanProject.com.
All right, folks, go over there and have a look. If you're listening by the internet or if you're listening by satellite, go have a look after radio. But we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We really get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us for now in our 15th year that make the mission church work. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treat it as family is the second. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in, ask, and that's the rule. If we have the thing for them or have the need for them, we give it to them. If not, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. You know, we really are responsible to care one for each other. So, we are brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And no matter what, the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. Call me at 620-878-4682 or find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're having a great conversation with Jim Gilhurst, talking about the border. Are you still there with me, Jim?
I'm here, Pastor Dan, and I'd like to make a little comment about your exclusion by the federal government from any financial help. Did you know that according to Judicial Watch, federal funding for the National Council of La Raza, also known as the RACE, which is a racial supremacy organization for predominantly just Mexican people, it received from Congress since 2009 $11,100,000 of tax-free grants. Why can't your religious order get that kind of a grant? You're doing very good stuff. You're helping homeless people. You're helping people who may have problems and emotional issues, who need that support. They need that shoulder to lean on during their life to make them a better person and lead them down that pathway to a successful and happier life. I'm kind of upset that the government is doing this, but that's probably a story for another day. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
Amen. I'll just throw it real, real small out there. La Raza drives me insane, what they're trying to take over California and the rest of the United States. But number two, about us and the government, you know, we're a church. We're not a corporation. And there is so many guidelines that they put on you if you do try to get a grant from them, that they control what you do and they want to control the people and everything. And so we refuse to accept their guidelines. And so we're a church. We're not a government organization. And the Father has took care of us. And we're now been doing this for 15 years, Jim. So what supports us is having people like you on that know about things and people are interested. So they come and listen to you on radio instead of listening to me. Anyway, what I was going to ask you about, people want to know, is there a problem with terrorists coming across the border? That's one of the number one questions I was supposed to ask you.
Certainly, Pastor. It's a continuing problem. In my opinion, based on comments from law enforcement, especially from the sheriffs along the borders who are not elected, who are not appointed to their positions, they're not hired, they are elected. They reply and respond only to the people. I give more credibility to their comments. They agree that certainly ISIS members, more likely than not, have gotten into the United States, Al-Qaeda sympathizers, Boko Haram, the group out of Nigeria, all of the, there were dozens of international saboteurs. Terrorist organizations around the world, dozens of them, and some of them certainly are in the United States. We, in addition to that, to those that have imported themselves into the United States illegally through our open border with Mexico, you have the homegrown ones, the American citizens, some of them not citizens yet, but some of them immigrants from, case in point, a couple of them from Somalia, but immigrated here years ago and became a member of ISIS and actually went to ISIS to fight for them, and they were killed. My part of the country, a young man from San Diego and down in Florida, another young man who are homegrown Americans. So, yeah, not only do we have terrorists infiltrating our country, according to sheriff's departments along the border, which is supported by the Department of Homeland Security, we have our own homegrown terrorists.
Right.
And we are going to be attacked again. It's just that no one really knows. There's never a warning. There was no warning for the World Trade Center, like there was essentially no warning for Pearl Harbor. There was no warning for Oklahoma City bomber, Tim McVeigh, doing what he was doing. And there was no warning for the first 1994. Five or 93 attack at the World Trade Center that failed, but it killed five people when two Islamic terrorists set off a 5,000-pound homemade bomb in the parking garage there. So we will be hit again. We just don't know when or what the target's going to be. The target, in my opinion, will be the goal will have a heavy, heavy body count. They want thousands dead, not just a couple or a couple of dozen. These people want thousands killed in an attack. So it will be a very concerted effort, just like the 9/11 attack. Very concerted effort. They'll probably zero in on a multitude of targets in one day, in 1.5 hour. You have 20 places hit, or it's going to be one huge one, like in Washington, D.C., to attack our political
infrastructure,
notoriety, or New York to incur huge body counts, or Chicago, wherever there are a lot of people. I doubt it'll be Wichita. I think you're safe, and I think I'm safe here in at least BAO, California.
Well, actually, I live 60 miles from Wichita, or ministries in Wichita, and I live in a little town of about 500 houses, and I'm really satisfied that that's where I'm at because of the world situation. But let's go back to the border. So my producer wanted to know and said I ought to point it out to you, and I'm curious. You know, we're seeing this respiratory illness pop up all over the United States. It's called a mystery respiratory illness. It looks like in some of the states, same states as these children have been put to. My question to you is there a lot of sickness or disease or anything coming across this border?
There is some. But again, our federal government has kept the cap on the information. The last thing the Obama administration or Congress is going to do, those congresspersons and those members of the current administration who are responsible for this lawlessness, the last thing they're going to do, sir, Pastor, is tell us, we've got this weird disease. We've got Ebola, some kind of weird disease that we haven't dealt with before, and we imported it by taking all these children in. Whoops. The fine if they can cure it right away, but what if it becomes an epidemic? You have a government that's being less than transparent. All governments seem to do that, but I think Obama and the prior government under Bush are notorious for keeping information from the public, with Obama probably even being more notorious. That's my opinion. And this is coming from someone who up until 6 months ago spoke reasonably highly of the President of the United States as a dignified man. But I've seen too many incidences now where there's something going on behind the scenes. I'm as skeptical as most Americans and certainly the entire Republican Party. However, I'm also skeptical of my own Republican Party in some cases. I do like people like Stephen King from Iowa. He's a fantastic American. Jeff Sessions from Alabama, Senator.
Yeah, I like Sessions.
And so they are out there, but they're all Republicans. The ones who really seem to be concerned with what your audience and I want to happen and the lifestyle we want America to be, the domestic tranquility that we're searching for, it seems to be bolstered only by the Republican Party, and that's it. And it's only by half of that party.
Right.
Essentially, I'm saying we have only half of one half of the Congress, about a fourth of the Congress, that wants this nation brought back under the rule of law, and those are the good guys. We just
right.
have to reproduce them by voting both.
Right. Amen. I agree. This next election is really important. Well, you know, and amnesty, that's a huge subject that the president's about to pull. But let me ask you this. What are you doing now on the border? We talked about what you did a few years ago. Now what's going on? What are you doing? And besides you, is there other organizations there? What's going on with your organization now?
I've launched Operation Normandy as of July 7th. It will run through Memorial Day, May 30 of 2015. I'm encouraging as many Americans, many people here as possible to go to the border and set up an outpost and observe and report for as long or as short of a time as you want. It's open to militia groups, to non-militia groups. You don't have to be an American citizen. You just have to be in the United States legally, under a legal visa or a legal green card, so on and so forth, or waiting for your citizenship, because you essentially are an American just waiting to get your papers. And I want to continue using this appearances on the southern border to bring continued awareness to this issue. And it does work. There are so many Americans who have never been to that border who don't know really what it's all about. And I want them to come down and see how porous it is, how easy it is to get through that border, and why we need an Israelite-style dual fence from San Diego, California to Brownsville, Texas.
Yeah.
We have that fence in 12 miles of the border only. I've talked to the Border Patrol agents here in California, just south of me in San Diego County, who man that 12-mile stretch of dual fencing, and they tell me it's almost impossible to get through those two fences. You might get over the first one that's 16 feet high, but there's
right.
a 50-foot causeway before the next one. By then, you've been spotted. You've been detected by ground sensors, radar, or cameras, or eyesight. And then you're apprehended. No one gets through that 12-mile section. And that's what we need to continue for the entire 2,000 miles of Mexico-American border. And that'll stop the drug cartels. It'll stop the slave traders. It will stop all the criminal activity right in its tracks.
Well, isn't there large portions of the border that are almost taken over by the drug cartels? I heard, like, maybe the eco-zones?
Yes, areas where the Bureau of Land Management has governance, where it's prohibited to carry weapons. You cannot go in there without risking arrest, prosecution, and confiscation of your weapons. And those areas, the drug cartels know that they will meet no resistance other than from law enforcement. And usually that law enforcement might be a park ranger carrying a 9mm pistol, which is no defense against an AK-47 or a 50 caliber sniper rifle or any of the like, which the criminal elements carry in routine manner. That's why they're criminals, and that's why they carry illegal weapons, because they don't care. That's where a lot of the drug trafficking, I've been told, is coming through, whether piercing our borders. We need really more law enforcement or military in those areas. If they're not going to let civilians in armed, because you are taking your life in your own hands on U.S. territory, in a
right.
federal park area, Bureau of Land Management,
yeah.
and they tell you, well, just stay out. Don't go in there if you're afraid. Well, that's like saying stay out of Yosemite Park. Or the Grand Canyon, because there are people down there with guns who want to kill you. And you, what is that all about? Stay out of the Grand Canyon because the drug cartels are taking over? Stay out of Yosemite? Come on.
Really?
There's something wrong with that. So how the government is going to deal with that issue is between the Constitution and Congress, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we're in a position right now where we have a president that he doesn't want to stop the fix. I think they look at all these immigrants as future voters. Otherwise, he wouldn't be trying to legalize them all. Or why do you think? Let's go with that. What do you think the deal is? Why doesn't he want to do something about it?
That's what you just said is what I've been writing about in commentaries and speaking about in the media for over 10 years. This is a politically inspired ploy to garner as many votes and voters and supporters for the Democratic Party as possible, regardless of what the rule of law says. And if you let as many illegal aliens into the United States as possible, making it virtually impossible to rout them out, I did not say literally, I said virtually, they can be routed out. Then, then apply them for amnesty, pass amnesty with a stroke of a pen, say, oh, there are only 5 million here, says President Obama, I'm going to amnesty all of them and the problem will go away. Well, then you're going to have 26 to 28 million more who are still hiding in the shadows, the 33 million total, jumping out of the shadows, demanding their amnesty, which they will get because now we've just set the national precedent by the stroke of a pen. I call it the magic wand of the president, the imperial president. And that is so blatantly in violation of everything the Constitution stands for. It is manipulating our rules of law to usurp them. And it will guarantee, according to my immigration law counsel, it will guarantee that 5 years after these people are amnesty, they will become citizens, and with that comes voting rights. They will, more likely than not, vote and support the Democratic Party, making the United States of America, for the very first time in its history, a one-party system, similar to the one-party system in communist China. And there will be little that anybody can do about it other than rising up in a civil war. Who's going to do that? Many of us would engage in civil disobedience, but we're not going to give up our Social Security checks if we're tired, or our kids in college, our marriages, our families, our home, our property to go to war with our own government. We will just suffer. That's human nature. We will just suffer, and we will be an ongoing one-party system probably into the next century. And you might think I just came out of Area 51 with a foil hat on. I disagree. I'm not saying I'm exactly right, but I am not the only one preaching this ugly, ugly scenario. And it will happen as soon as the president waves his magic wand over that paper, giving amnesty
to the illegals,
which will attract tens of millions or hundreds of millions more.
Let me talk just here a second. Number one,
yes.
if it's a full hat, I probably have one too, because we believe the same thing, and we've been talking about this on our many different guests on this radio program. So you're in the right place, brother. Okay, having said that, we're just months away from that happening, and I don't know what we can do about it. Maybe if we can get enough Republicans in at the next election and take over the Senate, maybe if they would do something against Obama. But, you know, if American people do not listen to what you're saying right now and stand up, then within just a short period of time, we're going to completely become a socialist country. That about where we're headed?
And it gets worse, Pastor. We become a very bifurcated country. In 2025, maybe 2030, you'll see the very first attempt, probably by Congressman Louis Gutierrez from Illinois. He's a very good close friend and confidant of President Obama. You'll see him, who is a very outspoken supporter of illegal immigration. He's right there with La Raza and all the illegal immigration promoters who want our borders collapsed and our country invaded to the tune of hundreds of millions of foreigners for whatever reason. Most of them, I think, are a little strange to wish that on your country. You're going to see Louis Gutierrez, congressman, introduced for the very first time a bill into Congress around 2025 or 2030, making Spanish equal to English as the common bond of language for the United States of America. The bill will probably fail the first time. That is, more people, primarily immigrants, gain political advantage by being elected to Congress, because we have this amnesty. Being elected to Congress and favoring the Latino way of life, you're going to see that happening. You're going to see eventually we will be a two-language country. Then you're going to have the Islamic fundamentalists demanding that we also speak Arabic or Farsi. And then you're going to have the Chinese, who are here, let's say, with 25 million people or 55 million people, demanding that we also have Chinese. How many times have we split the hair before we're no longer a country? We are a republic of mutual acrimony, hating each other and warring with each other based on race, color, religion, creed, so on and so forth. This is exactly what happened to Russia. And this is why it broke up into 15 different countries from one country in 1991. Just because we think we're the greatest country that ever walked, that ever inhabited the earth, doesn't mean we will stay that way if we do not adhere to the rule of law. That's why we are a civilized society, and that's why we have continued to survive through good and bad for over 240 years. We are a nation of laws. But the country is rapidly becoming a nation of mob rule, that mob rule being over 30 million illegal aliens who seem to be wagging the country by the tail. And the lawlessness and tyranny is coming right from Congress and especially from the White House. And it's a danger. And it's got to be stopped. It must be stopped. We've got to come back under the rule of law, Pastor.
Okay. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want you to address that. Is there any possible solution? I believe it has to be done soon, but is there any solution that you see?
In absence of Congress impeaching the president and preventing him from, with whatever power they can muster, prevent him from signing this amnesty and anointing all these millions of people as future citizens, encouraging hundreds of millions more to come here, we are going down the tubes. We will end up the way Russia did. The alternative is when the First Amendment doesn't work for you, that's why the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment. Unfortunately, I do not preach or encourage people to engage in violent civil disobedience. But I don't know what the alternative is. I will not, if it comes to that and violent civil disobedience breaks out, I will do nothing to stop it. I am helpless. You're helpless to stop it, because that means we have millions and tens of millions of people in this country who don't only not trust their government anymore or believe in it. They despise it, and now they hate it. And that is a death knell for any civilized country. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Congress keeps us under the rule of law and prevents the imperial president from trying to take the law into his own hands. I rest my case.
That was a very, very true statement, and I'm sure a hard statement for you to say, as it is for me. You know, I love America, you know, and you know, I'm a pastor, and I believe in my Savior coming back, but I know there's got to be trouble first. But, you know, this nation, unless something immediately is done to change it, folks out there that are listening, unless you stand up, and you need to stand up in your church, and you need to get your pastor involved, and there is enough Christians in this country, if we would just stand up and let our voice be heard, we could change the tide. Otherwise, you know, Jim, we've never been more divided since before the Civil War. And so I don't know what that means for us, except we need to pray. Anyway, thank you for being on. I really do appreciate it. And we'll do it again sometime. All right.
Thank you, Pastor. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You be blessed, brother. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. Well, folks, seriously, did you hear this man's words? You know, this, it, why? he's a sincere dude, you know. And maybe he's got some ideas that maybe not all of you agree with. But if you listen, especially to the last probably 10 minutes of when he was talking, and, you know, that's how serious this is. People think, oh, immigration, no big deal. But that's how serious it is. Within a short period of time, America, as we grew up in as children, as our children are trying to grow up into a different world, they're being brainwashed. The way things are going, you know, this country is headed towards either a civil war, or simply it's just going to flip over and we're going to roll over and play dead, and we're going to let them have their socialist communist country, and that's what America is going to be. And that's what all this immigration is about turning America into a communist country. And believe me, communism doesn't work. Everybody gets paid the same. Everybody gets the same treatment. You're already trying to have socialized medicine. That's not going to work. You need to pray really, really hard. But you know what? In all this mess, the only protection that you're going to have is the protection that you get from being right with your Father. That's it. The only thing is going to be a personal relationship with your Lord and Master, Yeshua HaMashiach. If you don't have that personal relationship, then you know what? You're not going anywhere. And if you wait until the end, sure, it says those who call on my name the same shall be saved. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be hearing from him in time to move your family or to get out of the way of trouble. You need to have that personal relationship. You need to serve him. And, you know, by the way, he is looking, the word says, looking for living sacrifices that will serve him. What is the last thing that you did for Yeshua? Seriously, what did you do for him today? Anything? Did you love your neighbor as yourself? Did you? Did you visit somebody in jail? Did you visit somebody that was sick? Did you pray for somebody? What did you do for him today? You know, and that's the thing. You know, over here at Messiah's Branch, we're trying to do the best that we can. We're doing it with nothing, you know, because donations have slowed down because of the economy. We have the same amount of people that donate. It's just that they can't donate as much. So pray about a sacrificial gift today. And then remember, there is only one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you a peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.
Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
4886.